Some verses from Romans 14, if you'd like to follow this in the Bibles that you received as you came in. Romans 14, and from verse 13. If you take the time to read the whole passage later, you'll see that the context and the theme of this chapter is differences amongst believers about questions of food, meat, vegetables, and about the observance of certain holy days. And so Paul continues that theme and says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I'm fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let's pray together and ask God to speak to us through this passage of His Word. Father, we thank You so much that Your purpose is not that we should be held down by a burden of all kinds of laws and rules that we could never fully keep, but You've said the key thing is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to ask that Your Spirit would make this clear so that those who have not yet come to know this joy and life may receive it even today. For we ask it for our blessing and for Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Something that was announced by the angels at the birth of Jesus, you remember, was, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to you and to all people. But as every year, Christmas comes and Christmas goes, but that was the purpose of the coming of Jesus. Now the question is, are you, and think of yourself as I just move my hand around as if I was pointing directly at you, but are you experiencing the happiness and joy, this great joy that was announced, that this is why Jesus has come, that there may be great joy to all people? Are you experiencing something of that joy in your own life right now? Why is it that although people are chasing after happiness and longing to know real joy, so few people actually find it? Well, one reason is that this joy cannot actually be found on its own. You can't just look for joy and find it, but it is something that comes as a result of something else. Let's ask someone younger here, what is this?
Vaseline.
Vaseline? Okay, have a look a little closer. Do we have to have a supply of Vaseline in Britain? How do we get Vaseline? Okay, you buy it in the shop, but the people who make it, where does it come from? Can you just get Vaseline? Ah, a byproduct. What's a byproduct? A derivative, or it's something you get when you have something else. So you can't just get Vaseline on its own. You've got to have petroleum. And in the process of refining the petrol, the petroleum, you also get Vaseline as a byproduct. When you have the one, you also receive the other. And it's like that with the joy of God. And the reason many people don't have this joy that Jesus came to bring is they don't realize that to have this joy, you mustn't be looking for joy. You first got to have something else. And so I focus your attention on verse 17 of that reading in Romans 14. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, we said it's something that comes from something else. It's a byproduct. And the first thing we need to see is that righteousness comes before peace. Before you can have peace and joy, listen to the verse again. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness. But now the problem is that not one of us is righteous. If you just page a little further back to chapter 3 of Romans, this is what we are told. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And if you go on to verse 23, we are told that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now you may say, but you know, I'm not that bad. Now that may be true. You may not be as bad in some areas as other people are, and you may be actually better than some others are, but the fact is, you don't have a righteousness of your own. If you read Isaiah 64, verse 6, we are told that all our righteous acts are like filthy rags in the light of God. And that's why that angel that came to announce the birth of Christ said, I'm bringing you good news of great joy, because the Savior who is to be born is the only person who has ever lived a perfectly righteous life. And that is something that was acknowledged not only by the supporters and the followers and the friends of Jesus, but even the enemies of Jesus said that. Even that Roman centurion who was involved in his crucifixion said, truly, this was the Son of God. And Jesus himself claimed that about himself. He said, who of you can accuse me of sin? Yes, righteousness comes before peace, and righteousness is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. So righteousness comes before peace, but peace comes before joy. If Jesus was sinless and righteous, why was it necessary for him to die on the cross? A lot of people talk about Bad Friday. What a tragedy that this wonderful person should end his life like that, and particularly when he hadn't done anything wrong. But peace comes before joy. Colossians 1:20 in the New Testament says that God has made peace through his blood shed on the cross. Before we can have joy, we must have peace with God. And how can that peace become mine? Well, it's also in this letter of Romans in chapter 5, verse 1, where we are told that therefore, being justified or being made right with God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When I truly put my trust and my confidence in Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, my sins are forgiven and God accepts me as righteous, even though I'm not actually righteous. Now, we heard from some of the people who shared earlier on that their lives did change for the better, but they also acknowledged that they haven't become perfect. So what happens is that we have peace with God because of the righteousness of Christ. It's as if it is credited to my account. And so there's no more a condition or a state of hostility and enmity and antagonism between God and me, either from his side or from my side, because I now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Some time ago, a man was traveling on an ocean liner. And he got up early one morning and he looked out the porthole, that's the little window that you have in your cabin on a ship, and he saw the most terrible looking dark storm clouds. And he thought, ooh, it's going to be rough and I'm going to get seasick. So he used the little phone, the internal phone that they had in all the cabins, where you can phone some of the staff and where you can phone the kitchen. And he phoned someone in the kitchen and said, please could you bring my breakfast down to my cabin this morning? I see there's a big storm brewing and I don't want to go up there and get seasick. And then the person from the kitchen said to him on the phone, sir, you don't have to worry about that storm, about those storm clouds, we've already passed through that storm during the night. It's behind us. Can you say that with assurance about your life in relation to God? The storm is behind me. That's what Paul meant. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Joy is a byproduct of righteousness and peace. You've got to have righteousness. Only Christ has righteousness. And we have peace with God through the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So much so that that same Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says that God took him who had no sin to become sin for us, so that we through him might become the righteousness of God through him. Righteousness comes before joy, and peace comes before joy. Righteousness comes before peace, peace comes before joy, and joy is produced by the Holy Spirit. Has the joy gone out of your world? I often speak to people who seem to be gripped by fear. Some are uncertain about the future. Sometimes it's a political uncertainty in particular countries. They're not sure of the future of their country. Sometimes people have lost their job, or their health is deteriorating, or there's been a bereavement, or their marriage is in trouble, and their children are in rebellion, and their home is falling apart. Or there's been a disappointment, I failed an exam, or something just hasn't worked out that you were so looking forward to. And so naturally you say, well, how can I have joy under those circumstances? Well, Jesus never promised that if you follow him, your circumstances would always be joyful. But listen to what he says in John 15 and verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Some of you know that one of our musicians and deacons, Ray Dawson, hosts a home fellowship group at his home on a Wednesday night. It's a Bible study group. We used to have one like that at our home in a town in South Africa a few years ago. There was a total of about 17 people. If they were all there on the same night, that's the number of people we used to have. And they were from 12 different families. But over the years that we had that group, the 5 years that we had that group in our home, there were only 4 of those 12 families that had not gone through serious trouble and trauma. Over just the last 2 years that were there, there was one, every one of them faced major problems. Some had problems in their homes and marriages. One man became paralyzed. One woman lost her husband in death. One man had 4 different jobs in 2 years. He was retrenched from his previous job one after the other. One man, his brother was killed, his business closed, and he had to learn a new job. And then his daughter had a kind of multiple pregnancy with a huge number of little babies that couldn't all survive. And then she just lost the one after another of the babies in this multiple pregnancy. There was another husband who was injured when he was only in his 20s. Another person had to have a number of major operations. And just the day before we left that town, there was another husband who was retrenched. And yet I found, as I kept in touch with those people over the following year, that all of them still were worshiping and loving and serving and enjoying their relationship with God. Why didn't they give up? How did they keep going on? I can only say that it's supernatural. There is a joy that is given by God that sustains you in situations like that, that you just will not know if you don't have that relationship with God. It's the joy of the Holy Spirit. It's what Nehemiah says in his book, "The Joy of the Lord is Your Strength." So if you're looking for joy, you won't find it, because joy is a byproduct of something else. It is something that comes from the righteousness of Jesus Christ, through whom we can have peace with God. And if you've truly come into that relationship, then there will be the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. We are told that as a person has come to Christ, their character and their life begins to change. And Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, self-control, all those wonderful characteristics that we see in the person and work of Jesus. Do you know something of that? Would you like to? If you haven't begun that yet? The key thing about Christianity is not meat and drink and rules. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Just one thing I want to make absolutely clear about what it means, because perhaps there's some uncertainty about that. What does it mean to believe in Christ? You know what the word means? You could translate it like this, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies upon him should not perish but will have everlasting life. It's not just an intellectual assent where you say, well, I believe there was such a person of Jesus who lived and who died and who rose again, but I'm going to put my trust in him. I'm going to depend on him to make me right with God. And when you've done that, when you've genuinely done that, it will be because the Holy Spirit is drawing you, and you will know something of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. May each one of you, if you've never begun to know that, may each one of you know the righteousness, peace, and joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. Won't you turn to Christ and put your trust in him if you've never done that? Because otherwise you'll never know this lasting joy that cannot be taken away from you. At the close of the service, you're all invited to join us for refreshments and snacks. But if you become aware that you haven't really begun what the apostle in our reading was talking about, the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit, then we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to help you and show you from the Scripture how you can be sure. I'm going to be leaving fairly soon after the service. I have to catch a train to Stratford. But if you are not sure about your relationship with God through Christ and you would like to, I would love to give you one of these booklets and just make contact with you later during the week. I'm going to be in the office just through the passageway there at that door at the side of the church. And I'd love to just spend a few minutes sharing with you, praying with you, showing you how you can be sure, and giving you one of these booklets if you still are not sure and you would like to be sure about it. May the Lord just draw you and encourage you that you might have this joy, which is a byproduct of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer before we sing together again. Our Father, we want to thank you that you did not make us to be dominated by sadness and disappointment and failure and emptiness, but that when you made us in your image, it was because of that potential of a relationship with you. And oh, we want to ask that by the moving of your Spirit, through the truth of your word, through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, people will understand that that is your gracious intention and desire for us, that we should have the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit through peace with God and the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ask that your Spirit would work and draw those who may not yet have entered that relationship to not forget about this or just ignore it or shrug it off, but to be determined to come to the place where they know that they have found the one who gives as this wonderful byproduct his joy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.